Everybody said amen. Good morning. I said good morning. Good to see all of you. You want to go walking through a cemetery with me this morning for a little bit? There was a gentleman whose name was Odd, and he begged his wife that when he died that she would not put that name on his tombstone. And so when the point come he died, why then all she did was put the date of birth and his day of death. As some people are walking through the cemetery, they look at it and they said, well, look at that. All that has is dates on it. And one lady said the other day, well, that's odd. Isn't it kind of odd that people don't want to believe in a resurrected? Paul said to Festus, isn't it? And why is it difficult for people to consider that God is able to raise the dead? Why would you not want to believe in a resurrected Christ who offers you eternal life? Why not? Why would you not want to believe in that? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. He that believeth in me shall never die. Shall never die. Why would you not want to believe in eternal life? That you're going to live forever. Because He lives. You can live forever. As you continue your walk through the cemetery, as it might be, you look over here, and on this tombstone it says, and this gentleman is a contractor, he's a carpenter, and it says on here, and he built kitchens, etc., etc., here lies the counterfeiter. Now, if I've done anything, I've tried to prove to you, show to you scripturally, rationally, that Jesus is no counterfeiter. He is alive. He was raised from the dead. He was seen by witnesses over and over again. And one of those witnesses is the gentleman that we've been looking at who was Saul of Tarsus and now has become the Apostle Paul. And you and I are here today meeting around this Lord's table. And the Bible says you show the Lord's death until He comes. That means you believe that Jesus lives, that He's alive, and that He's been exalted as it was indeed expressed in Scripture today. And He has been sitting at the right hand of God on David's throne. And so as I sit here and I'm looking and thinking about that, you know, you walk by this other tombstone, and on there there's this epitaph that simply says, excuse me for not rising. Jesus has risen. And excuse me, but I believe He's alive. I believe He's interceding as my great high priest. And I do believe He's coming again for me. So when you and I evaluate as what was expressed by Jesus in John 11, the aspect that, yes, even Martha knew, yes, Lord, He will raise from the dead in the resurrection day. You remember Abraham, who took Lazarus, or his son Isaac, up into the mount and was offering it as a sacrifice. And the Hebrew writer, chapter 11, says that Abraham knew in his heart that if he did what God told him to do, killed Isaac, that all that could then take place to fulfill the promise He made to him, Abraham believed that God would have to raise him from the dead. You see, resurrection from the dead is not a new subject. All Jesus did is come and prove. As Job said, if you die, will you live again? Jesus said, yes, you will. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. And so the conversion of Saul of Tarsus to the Apostle Paul, as one who is born out of season, we find in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 31, it declares, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. Paul, this zealous persecutor, has now been converted. His whole life is now changed around. His whole perspective and goal in life has been different. Being one who was going to put an end to the way, killing all those who claim to be disciples of this one, Jesus of Nazareth, he now is changed personally because he has seen the Lord and he's seen Him alive. He talked to Him. He conversed with Him. And this is now his particular goals. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul says these words. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me. It is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. I was circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness which is by the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me through these things, I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. What? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may obtain to the resurrection of the dead. The power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection, looking toward our own personal resurrection that is going to happen when Jesus comes again. And so Paul indeed demonstrates that very clearly, that he had given up everything the world could offer to him in order that he might gain Christ, but that he may gain the power of the resurrection and share in that resurrection and the resurrection day. In Acts 26, 15 and 18, which we have reviewed, we have Paul, and as it is, Jesus is speaking to Saul on the road to Damascus. Saul said, this is what I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up, stand on your feet, for this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, that not only to the things you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you. Seemingly for 3 years, Paul is not heard of until later on in the city of Jerusalem. He was let down from a basket out of Antioch. There's 3 years, we don't hear anything about him. I believe during those 3 years, him and Jesus the Christ had a long conversation concerning the kingdom. And that what he received, Paul said to the church of Galatia, I did not receive it of man, I did not receive it of the angel, I received what I'm preaching and what I'm teaching directly from the Lord. If Jesus spent 3 years with the other men, I believe he spent 3 years with Saul, preaching, teaching him the aspect of the kingdom. So he says, what I will appear. What does he say? As it is, rescuing the Jewish people and the Gentiles to whom I'm going to send you. What have you been rescued from? What have I been rescued from? What was Paul's preaching in that aspect? Jesus said, you're going to preach, and you're going to preach a message of rescuing people. Included in that message, he goes on and says in verse 26, in order that you might open their eyes, that you will turn them from darkness to light, to turn them from the dominion of Satan to God, to show them how they can receive forgiveness of sins, to show them the inheritance that is available in Christ, and to show them the sanctification that one receives by faith. That ought to be included in every sermon that's preached, that God has sent us into the world to preach. I'm going to cover the first three this morning. First of all, he sent us to preach to open the eyes of people. Okay? Spiritual eyes. Not physical eyes. Even though Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, I believe he's speaking about spiritual eyes. Man being able to see the truth and see the gospel, see the beauty of it, etc., and what God has done. You see, the Bible teaches if the blind lead the blind, they'll all end up in the abyss, the pit. And so people, you and I, all of us, whether we like to recognize it or not, before we became a child of God, we were spiritually blind. We were blind. And we could not see. And so as we received and as the gospel is being preached and as the knowledge of Christ became aware to us, etc., our eyes began to open. I remember as a senior, on our senior trip, we went to the Copacabana in New York. And when you walk into that place, it is, dark. They had to lead you with a flashlight. Went over the table. Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis was performing on the show of that evening. I'll never forget it. But the point is, we sat down. I had no idea what was set in front of me to eat. I couldn't see it that close. But you know what? The more I was in that darkness, pretty soon I began to be able to see things a little clearer. And pretty soon I realized everything that was on my plate, and et cetera, and everything else began. So when you remain in darkness, you know what happens all of a sudden? Even though you still can't see, you can still see. And you don't know you're really blind. How many of you have been in the mammoth caves? Huh? You went down inside, got in the big area, and what did they do? They shut the lights off. And when they do that, how far can you see? Zero. Can't see beyond your nose. I mean, it is dark, dark, dark. And that is exactly what God's Word defines as those who are in the world are in a world of darkness and they cannot see. I was there, so were you, at one time or other. And some of us, our spiritual eyes are still being opened, aren't they? We see things more clearly now as we continue in the light, walking in the light, than we did when we were in the darkness of the world and the aspects of that. And to let you know what I'm talking about, listen to these verses. In Luke 11:34, Jesus said, "The eye is the lamp of your body. And when the eye is clear, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, evil, your whole body is full of darkness." You hear that? Not the baby crying, okay. God's Word states that one can have eyes to see, but does not see. Think about the eye and how important it is then. The spiritual eye. The ability to be able to see the light permeate. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." His purpose for coming into the world was to dispel, do away with darkness. That's why he came, to show us the light and to reveal that light to us. But yet the eye is strange. 1 John 2:11 states, "The darkness has blinded your eyes." And no doubt the Bible teaches us very clearly, because we live in a world of darkness, our eyes can become blinded. It also says in 1 John 2:16, it speaks about the lust of the eyes. You know what Jesus said? The Bible said, Jesus said, if your eye offends you, it'd be better you plucked it out than go to hell. He did say that. It also talks about in 2 Peter 2:14, talks about the eye that is full of adultery. Man, don't we live there today? I'm serious. TV, movies, everything, magazines, you name it. Man, eyes are full of adultery. It really is. In 2 Corinthians 4:4-6, Paul talks to the church at Corinth, and he says, "And in case of those who are perishing, the God of this world," who is that? The devil, Satan, "has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light." Now you recognize, don't you? You don't see with your eyes, you see with your mind, your brain. Huh? You hear with your brain, you see with your brain. So when he says that the Satan has blinded your brain, affected your mind, your thinking process, that what he has done is that he has caused you that you cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So Satan is declared a power that is in the world that can blind people's eyes. In other words, anyone and everyone who's living out there that is in not the kingdom of Christ is in the kingdom of Satan, and they are living in darkness. Okay? And we'll see that. Verse 6 of that same chapter, chapter 4, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in your heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Jesus is the light that will dispel any form of darkness in your individual life. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul's praying, and he's praying to the church at Ephesus, that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. Why? So that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints. Now, I don't know where you fixed your eyes, and I don't know what you focus on. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the finisher and the author of your faith. Your eyes. Your eyes are very important. What you look at, what you see, what you perceive, and what you are following in that aspect of your life. You have spiritual eyes? Can you see the light? You see the light that has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ, reflecting the glory of God, His nature, His character. You know that God is a loving God. He's a patient, forgiving God. You know that He is a God of kindness and goodness. See, Satan doesn't. He blinds people's eyes to see the glory of God. He don't want you to know God. He doesn't want you to see who God really is. He don't want you to see the kind of God that's revealed in this book. And Jesus said, "I've come that you might know the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen God." What do you find wrong in Jesus' life? Why does everybody think and everybody blame God for everything that's happening in the world? When indeed there is another power, another force who is in the world, and the world is under His rulership, and I'm telling you, He is adverse to us. And He will do everything He can to destroy your ability to see God in all of His glory. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from our Father who is in heaven, and there is no shadow or variation or turning with Him. God is good. Okay? And you need to see that. I need to see that. And so as they find in the context of Scripture, we have been turned and we have brought, the message is to turn people from darkness to the light. Now what he said? You'll open people's eyes, but the purpose of doing that is to rescue them, to get them to turn. Isn't that what called repentance is? Repentance is basically turning from that world of darkness and turning to the light. And the light will lead you to eternal life. So the aspect is that we need to grow in our love for the light that's been revealed to us. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Turn from darkness. Bible really emphasizes that because He lives, we can open the eyes of people and help them to see the light. And because He lives, people have the opportunity to be able to turn from the darkness of this world to the light of the world. This is Christ. And as He have that aspect, the Bible says we have been rescued from the domain of darkness, transferred into the kingdom of His beloved Son, Colossians 1 and 12 and 13. What? We've been transferred. We've been taken out of the world, the kingdom of darkness. That's Satan's kingdom. So you're either in the kingdom of Satan and living in darkness, or you're in the kingdom of God's dear Son and a kingdom of light. That's it. You're in one or the other. You're in one or the other. And when you and I become a Christian, we're immersed into Christ, God then takes you and transfers you, takes you out of the kingdom of darkness, places you into the kingdom of light, and you become one of Christ's citizens to serve and to honor Him and to walk in the light as He is the light. John 3:19-21. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear his deeds will be exposed. But he that practices the truth comes to the light, so his deeds might be manifested as have been wrought in God. That's the answer right there. The only reason anybody won't come out of darkness is because they love it. Why would they love it? Because they know what they're doing is wrong. It's evil. It's wrong in the evil of sight of God, and they don't want what they're doing exposed. How much sin and corruption goes on at night versus the day? You ever thought about it? Because they don't want their deed to be what? They think they can be hidden and not exposed under darkness. The skies of darkness. Isn't that what it says? For 1 John 1:5, this is the message we've heard from the beginning, and we announce to you that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Period. Period. So God is light. What was the first thing that God created? What is the first command in the Scripture? In Genesis 3:3, what did He say? Let there be light, and there was light. And what was the light essential element? What was necessary for light to exist? Life. You can't have life on the earth without light. And so light was created. Did you recognize the fact that light was created before the sun? You ever notice that? And the sun was created to rule over the day and to separate the night from the day. Know what it says? But light is essential, isn't it? All right. So if you're going to have spiritual life, if you're going to live spiritually, and you're going to be able to receive the blessings that God has promised us because Christ lives, then you need to be walking and living in the light. Jesus said, "My word is light. My word is spirit. My word is truth." This is the light that you need to be following. I'm serious. The reason we're having the issues we are in our country today is because man today refuses to acknowledge God and give Him the glory that is due Him. You know that, don't you? And once you take God out of your knowledge, then where is the light going to come from? Then all you're going to do is have a world that becomes more and more and more full of darkness, right? Huh? That makes sense? I hope so. The last thing we're going to look at is first the third thing, that because He lives, we can be rescued from the domain of the devil. Now he said, preach the gospel. You're going to lead the Gentiles and the Jews. You're going to preach to them, and you're going to show them how they can have and how they can have their eyes open, how they can be rescued from darkness to light, but how they also can be rescued, if you will, from the domain of Satan to indeed God. That's what he said. Now, I don't know if we want to acknowledge the fact of truth that anyone then who is not and does not and is not in the kingdom of God and is not following the word of God, that they are following somebody. Now, they may not be bad people, but they still have what? Sinned. And everyone has fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, right? So because he lives, however, I can be rescued from the domain of Satan. Colossians 1:13 again says, he rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his dear son. You need to read that over and over again. I am no longer in the world and living in darkness. I am a child of the king. I'm walking and living in light. I can see far beyond my nose, and I can see what Satan is trying to do, what he does, and how he tries to get me to be blind again. He's a master of that. But we've been rescued. Amen? Ephesians 2:2-3 says, we were formerly walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That's what it says. And everyone who is not and has not come into the light, into relationship with God, they are still walking in the course of this world. Where is this world leading? Where is the end course of the world? You see? It also says, according to the prince of the power of the air. You understand that Satan is the power of the world? That he is the God of the world, the aspects of it. And God's Son came into the world to rescue you from that and put you into his kingdom. That's what his purpose was. 1 John 5:19, we know we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Do you know that? Says so. Certainly you see the fruit of it, don't you? I think you do. Hebrews 2:14 and 15. Are you listening? Don't go to sleep on me. If you go to sleep, you'll wake up and then you'll have a religious awakening. And it may not do you any good. All right. In Hebrews chapter there, it says, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise, talking about Jesus, also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. You hear what he said? What is it that is the driving fear of man? Is death. Jesus came because he lives to destroy the fear of death. For you and I to die is gain. For you and I to die is to be with him and to be with those who have gone before us. See, I have no doubt that my mom and dad are with the Lord and I'm going to see him again. Why wouldn't I want to believe that? Why would I not want to believe that mom and dad are alive, Marilyn's folks are alive, and many numerous people that I have known in the Lord are already in heaven waiting for me, and I anticipate what it is in the power of the resurrection Paul was expressing, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive shall be caught up in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Even so, amen. Why wouldn't I want to believe that? Why would I want to believe that I'm just a thought pattern, and when my brain dies, I die? That's what a lot of people believe. That's it. Wow, that gives life purpose, doesn't it? That gives you an ultimate reason for getting up in another day. You understand why people are living on pills today? But they hate every day to get up and go to, I don't know too many people love their jobs. Shouldn't have said that probably. But do you understand what we have to look forward to? Huh? I mean, the joy of every aspect of that. And so as you and I live in this world and as we share in this world, Revelation 1:18, Jesus who had and came and took that power away from the devil, set us free from death. Because remember, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never. See, Bill Horton's never going to die. My body may go back to the dust of the earth, but I'm not going to go. I'm going to go and be with the Lord. How about you? Isn't that your faith? Isn't that what you believe in? Isn't that the light you have been seen and shown so that you don't live in darkness anymore? That you see that this world is not my home. We're just passing through. We have so much more to look forward to. And so Jesus declared in Revelation 1:18, this is what Jesus said, I am the living one, and I was dead. Behold, I am alive forever. More, and I have the keys of death and hell. What did he say? I am he who was dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I now have the keys to death and hell. Satan don't have them anymore. Jesus does. Why? Because he lives. He's alive forevermore. He's been resurrected, never to die again. He's the only one begotten from the dead, right? Alive forevermore, never to die again. And so he now holds the keys of death and hell. That's what it said. So may I remind you, as you and I live in this world that is under the power of the evil one, may I remind you that 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So Satan's kingdom is real. It is a kingdom of darkness. And those in his kingdom are living and walking in darkness. Satan is called the deceiver. He's called the father of this world and the father of all lies. The god of this world, the evil one, a murderer, the ruler of this world. And because Jesus lives, our Lord, we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. Now, are you listening? 1 John 5:18 states, those who are born of God, God keeps them, and the evil one does not touch them. I'm tired of people saying and thinking, whatever. If my Lord came, He came to destroy the works of the evil one. He came to set me apart into another kingdom, to get me and place me in light and take me out of the darkness. You remember under the Old Testament, there were seven cities of refuge? And if you had committed a crime, if you committed anything, you could flee. And if you got into the city before they got you, and you stayed in the city, they couldn't come in and get you, right? You were safe there, right? Well, Jesus is that city of refuge. And if you are in Christ, the evil one can't come into Christ and touch you. You're safe. You're secure. You're in Christ. So you better evaluate where you are and how much darkness still is permeating your life and how much light has dispelled the darkness that you can be set free from Him. Because that's why Jesus came, was to set us free. But there is something you have to do, you know. Everybody has to participate, right? So in Ephesians 6:16, write it down. Everybody knows it. Everybody know that every day you have put on the full armor of God? I don't know how people put on the full armor of God when they don't even know what it is. First of all, you put on the belt of truth. And Jesus said, you'll know the truth will make you free. Isn't that right? All right? Then He says you put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is walking and living in obedience to God. That's what righteousness is. It's imputed to you. It is, in fact, as it is, God then looked upon Abraham as righteous because Abraham did what God told him to do. He obeyed, didn't he not? Right? So he's declared righteous. And then you just shod your feet. Put on your feet the gospel of peace. That's what you're to put on your feet. You hear about the guy who stuck his foot in the oven? Yeah, I wanted to pop his corns. What's on your feet? You know, in Romans chapter 10, it talks about how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. I got beautiful feet. Okay, they're not. But think about it. And then he said, are you listening? Then he said, and above all of what I just shared, put up the shield of faith, and it will protect you from the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so those who are righteous live and walk by faith. Faith in what? Faith in God. Faith in His promises. Faith in who He is. Faith that He has done exactly what He said He had done. That Jesus came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. Isn't that why He came? Okay? And so put up the shield. You have to do that, right? You have to put the shield up. You got to know that that shield is there to extinguish and put out every fiery dart of the evil. Well, what does that mean? He's shooting them at you. Isn't He? That's what it says. Why put up the shield of faith if there's no fiery darts being shot? But there are. And so I need to walk and live and put my faith in God, because if I don't, the arrow, Satan, is going to get me. He'll permeate me. And there's no ifs and ands about it. So we shared three things today. Number one is by preaching and the preaching of the gospel that Jesus has been crucified, risen, and because He lives, people's eyes can be opened. Because He lives, people can be rescued from the power of dominion of darkness and turned to the light. And because He lives, not only that, but we can be rescued from the domain of Satan. And we can set free from him. That is what we preach. All right? There's three other things Paul is to preach. So if you want to hear the rest of the story, you'll have to come back next Lord's Day. Or you can get a CD. And if you don't want to get a CD, then you don't want the rest of the story. That's okay. But the most powerful aspect is that we preach that your sins can be forgiven you. Is there any greater message than there's a God in heaven that wants to remove your sins from you as far as the east is from the west, and He will remember them no more? That's what most people need, you know. Because most people's problems is their past. And the only way you can get off your past is to sit down and come to a point where you have the power of the resurrection. And know that when you were baptized into Christ, you were raised up with Him. And you were seated with Him in heavenly places. And you rule and reign with Him. We are the kingdom of God. And we are going to live and exist forever. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing it together. First verse, because He lives, because He lives, because He lives. My eyes can be opened. I can be rescued from darkness, turned to the light. I can be rescued from the domain and the power of the devil. And I can be set free by the power of Jesus Christ. Because He what? Because He lives. He has been risen. He lives.